Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you had a great last week. I know we did at Vacation Bible Schools. We shared with you last Sunday morning. We had a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. We were down a little bit in numbers, but the spirit was great. We had a couple to accept Jesus, and I tell you, we got to make a lot of contacts, had a great family night that night with over 150 people there. So it was just a great week of spending time with our children and having our youth help and just all the people who came out and helped us last week. So we just thank all of those. But it's so glad to be with you again this morning, beginning of the 4th of July week. Isn't that amazing? Here we are. This year is half over. Can you believe that? Yeah, half the year is already gone. Now we got this starting in July, and we got the 4th coming up in just a couple days. And so I know you probably got big plans of barbecuing and celebrating. And so we do want to think about our nation this morning. But before we do, we're going to go to the Lord and pray. And so let's go now and just ask Him to bless our time together. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for opportunity once again to be able to come and to share Your word on this radio station. Once again, we thank You that we live in a nation that we have that freedom to do that freedom of religion, not a freedom from religion, but a freedom of religion. So we praise You for that, Lord, and that we can come and share. We pray for those that are listening today. Some may be ill and not able to go to church this morning. So, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their restored health. Some may be shut-ins. We just ask You, Lord, to minister to them there in their homes each week. For those that may be traveling on the road, going to and from, give them safe journey where they're headed today and a safe journey back home. But, Lord, most of all, we pray that Your word would have its way with us today. That, Lord, that You would draw us back unto You. Draw our nation back unto You. Lord, we need revival in our nation. And if we don't see it and see it soon, we know that our nation is doomed because we have turned away from You. So speak through me the words we need to hear this morning. Cleanse me of my sin. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. And I just pray that self will be removed, Satan will be bound, and Jesus will always be preached. That, Lord, that He can draw all people unto Him as we give You that honor and that glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning we want to read something a little different. We're going to read from Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to read down through just verse 5 as we think about the healing leaves, the healing leaves. You know, as I think about our nation and in comparison with the Israelite nation, as I look at where our nation is at right now, you know, when you look at the life of the Israelite nation, how that God began that nation through Abraham, how that He blessed that nation in a great and powerful way, how that they were gone off into Egypt in exile. They there cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. And what did He do? He sent Moses. Well, you know, our nation is not off in exile. Our nation is not crying out unto the Lord. Now, there's been times through our history that we have cried out unto the Lord, and the world wars that we've seen that have happened, even during our Civil War, that happened when we was fighting our own selves. So there has been times that we've cried out unto the Lord for our nation, but not like the whole nation being taken into captivity like the Israelite people were. But we see that God sent them a leader called Moses, and what happened? He led them out, and so when they get a little bit further, and Moses goes up on the mountain, God has done manifold works. He has fed them. He has given them water. He had brought them across the Red Sea. He had overcome every enemy that ever faced them. And then when Moses goes up on the mountain, what did the people do? The people did what? They turned away from God. They began to worship idols and began to sing and dance and just do all kinds of sinful things. And then when Moses comes down, we know how he broke the Ten Commandments, had to go back and get another set, and God had to destroy a part of them. And then they wandered around in the wilderness for what? For 20 years, 40 years, everybody who was 20 years of old and older had to die off. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that a sad story? Because they had turned away from God, and then they wouldn't go in and possess the promised land after all that God had done. They ended up wandering around in the wilderness. Then finally, through Joshua, they're carried into the promised land. You know, I thought about that. I thought about where are we at as a nation? Are we wandering in the wilderness? I don't think so. Are we crying out unto God because of what things are happening? No, I don't think so, not as a nation. I know our churches are crying out unto the Lord because of what we see our nation's doing. But I believe our nation right now, folks, is in that partying time. We're in that time when they made that golden calf. We're in that time when Moses was gone up on the mountain. They said, well, he must not be coming back. So, boy, they just broke out everything. They sang and they danced and they ran around naked. Look, summertime's here. You don't have to go very far to see people running around naked. Isn't it amazing what people wear to Walmart? Much less go to one of the beaches or one of the beach towns. I mean, we're living in a day and time where people have no morals. They have no sense of sin, and they're just worshiping idols. They're worshiping golden calves day in and day out. And brothers and sisters, we're headed towards a terrible time. Now, I don't want to be just a preacher of doom, but brothers and sisters, God is not going to allow us to continue doing what we did or doing, just like he didn't continue to allow them. We may have to go off into the wilderness for 40 years, but God's going to bring us down. He's going to show us where we have been wrong. And we're going to cry out to him one day, and hopefully we'll find revival in America. I wish it could be now. I wish it could be today. As we come to celebrate this 4th of July, this is not what our forefathers intended. This is not what they intended for our nation to be. So how in the world are we going to get back? Well, let's read what it says in Revelation chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. And he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there were no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall not be any night there, and they need no candle, neither light nor sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is a wonderful picture that we see at the coming to the end of the book of Revelation, as God is giving this vision unto John, and as he's recording all this, and as we come down to this last vision, as he sees the throne of God, he sees him there, God and the Lamb, and coming out of the throne is what? Is that river of living water. Isn't that amazing? That river of living water. Now, last Friday night, we had our 4th of July celebration for the association up at the college, and that was what our church did. We handed out bottles of water, and we talked to people about knowing the living water, who is Jesus, and finding that living water that they'll never thirst again, that they can find satisfaction. So we see that there in the midst is the tree of life. Now remember, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve could eat of that tree freely. They couldn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't you eat of it. But they did, and that's the reason the tree of life was removed. They were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. They could not eat of it anymore, and that's why they died. Well, here we see there's this tree of life again. And it says it's standing there with the river running on each side. And what does it say? It says that they can eat of it. And look what it says. The tree of life, it bears 12 manners of fruit, and it yields fruit every month. And then listen to this, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So this morning, what is the healing of the nations? What is these healing leaves? What can we say about our nation? Now, when you think about the leaves, you look and there's not a lot said about or explanation about the leaves, but the reason it says it's the healing leaves of the nations is because it's bearing fruit. What did it say? 12 times kinds of fruit, and it's bearing the fruit all year long. Now, what happens to our trees when it gets fall and winter? Well, we call it fall because all them leaves begin to fall, don't they? I got some big oak trees there around the house there at the past door, and I mean, I don't know, if you open that garage door, it seems like a half a truckload can blow in there before you can get it closed, isn't it? You have pecan trees at my parents' home. You know, those leaves fall off, and it doesn't bear fruit year-round, does it? But when it starts getting spring, what happens? The leaves start coming back. But it says these leaves, never wilt. They never fall off. They are there for all times to the healing of the nations, that the nations can eat of that tree of life. Now, when we think about then, the healing leaves that can heal a nation, what in the world is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, salvation through Jesus. There's no need of a candle. There's no night there. Light is gone. There's no curse. There's no sin. There's no devil there. But brothers and sisters, the only hope that we have in our nation is that tree of life, is that river of living water, and his name is Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to heal our nation. That's the only thing that's going to change the world, is for people to come to know Jesus. So to be able to do that, we got to ask some hard questions about our nation. We got to ask some hard questions about our nation. You know, my wife and I, we've both been to doctor's appointments these last couple of weeks. My daughter has been to the doctor's appointments. I've had scans done, and my daughter's had scans done. They're looking at surgery. I'm looking at scopes. I mean, all kinds of things going on. And when you go to the doctor, for them to be able to heal you, they have to ask you a lot of questions, don't they? They have to ask you some hard questions sometimes. You go to give blood and look at some of the questions they're going to ask you. Some of them make you blush, especially if you're the preacher. But think about this. When we look at our nation and we think about those healing leaves, we think about Jesus, we need to ask some hard questions about our nation this morning that we need to get settled in our minds and in our hearts, but if we're going to see our nation saved. So I want to submit to you four hard questions we got to ask. First of all, we got to ask is, who is our nation's God? Who is our nation's God? Really? Who is it? Number two is, who's running our nation right now? Who do you think's running our nation? Number three, what exalts a nation? What sets our nation above other nations? What makes us better than other nations? And then lastly, what can then heal our nation? What is it in these healing leaves that we need to heal our nation? So let's go back and look at these four things as we think about this morning, these healing leaves, and how our nation can be healed, how our nation can be saved, how we can see it spared from the doom that we're headed in if we keep going the way that we're going. So let's look at the first one. Who is our nation's God? Who is our nation's God? You know, as we talked about a while ago, the Israelite people, when the Israelite people were chosen by God and he started showing his power through this little small nation, he said, I didn't choose you because you was a big nation. I didn't choose you because you was all powerful. I wanted to prove to the world that I am the only God. And you know, Israelite nation was known for who? For their God. I mean, when people heard the Israelite nation was coming through, I mean, they would get scared. They would start making plans because they knew how great of a God the Israelite nation has. You know, America used to be that way, folks. Do you really realize that our nation was founded upon these Christian principles, that our forefathers came to this place looking for those religious freedoms and liberties, and people understood and knew that we serve the one and only and true God? Now, we had one of our presidents not too long ago said that we were no longer a Christian nation. And I hate to say it, but I'm about to believe he's right. I don't know who our God really is right now. I know who my God is. I know who the God that we serve at West Macomb Baptist Church. I know who the God of my family is that my children serve, and my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. I know who they serve. But brothers and sisters, I don't know who our nation's God is right now. I don't believe our nation knows who the true God is. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. We have forgotten who he is. We don't acknowledge him as God. We don't honor him as God. We don't glorify him as God. Everybody else is our God. Everything else is our God. Right now, it seems as if power is our God. You know, you would think money would be. I think money's the second thing. If you really want to know the evils and the sins of the world, follow the money trail. But I believe people are more concerned with power than they are money nowadays. Because you see people who have all the money they need, but yet they keep running for office and they keep wanting to be in a place of power, and they want that power and that control. So I think power a lot of times has become our God. money is their God. We see that pleasure. Have you ever seen such a time when so much money is spent on pleasure? I mean, families that don't give a dime to the church, but boy, they can do that travel ball, and they can go to the lake, and they can go to Disney World and all these other places and spend thousands of dollars, but yet they don't have a dime to give to the church, but they got all the pleasure in the world. They can hire that bass boat. They can join them deer clubs. I mean, pleasure. We have gotten to be just like the Roman Empire. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. We have our big amphitheaters. We call them stadiums and football stadiums, basketball stadiums. You know, we call them baseball fields. But it's all the same. Pleasure has become our God. Matter of fact, I would even go so far as to say Satan himself is our God in our nation right now. We see that Satan worship is on the rise. We see people who are blatantly coming forth and saying, we worship Satan. I remember when one of our presidents was running. I mean, there was a group of witches that got on TV and said, we're going to curse him and pray, and we're going to ask Satan to destroy him. Isn't that amazing? Who'd ever thought that would have happened in America? Why didn't they say, we're going to pray to Almighty God, and we're going to let God choose who wants to be president? We're going to let God choose it. No, they're going to pray to Satan to curse somebody. Satan, money, power, pleasures. Who is the God of America today? When we say in God we trust on our money, what kind of God are we talking about? What kind of God are we talking about? Oh, brothers and sisters, we got to be a nation that believes in God, that He is the one and only true God. In Psalms chapter 33, verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation that does what? Whose God is the Lord. Did you hear that? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Does the United States have God still as their Lord? Is He still our God? Is He still the one that we're worshiping? Is He still the one that we're worshiping? Or is it all these other things and ideologies that we see going on in our world today? Who is the God of America today? That is what we got to answer. Second of all, we got to answer the question is, who's running our nation? Who's running our nation? If I were to ask you today, who's running our nation? Would you say Biden? Now, we all know better than that. Poor fella can't find his way home. If somebody didn't lead him by the hand, put him in a limo and drive him home, he'd get lost. I mean, it's sad. The man can't make a sentence together. Is this the best we have to offer in America for presidents? Do you think Biden's running our nation? No, everybody says that. He's not running our nation. He's just a puppet. Somebody's pulling his string. Well, who's running our nation? Is NATO? I tell you, Biden has his way, and these leftists are the leftists running our nation. They seem to be. Some would say the Democrats are running our nation today. Some would have said when Trump was in there, the Republicans were running our nation. I wish they had them, but they didn't. Oh, brothers and sisters, who's running our nation today? Who's in control? Some would say, well, our nation is run by the Constitution. Well, is that true? I imagine our forefathers are turning over in their graves today, brothers and sisters, because of the ways that the Constitution is being trampled on and the Constitution is being made a joke of. And when I think back about what's going on in our nation today, and I think about our forefathers and how they made this Constitution, you know, the Constitution has not changed. The only thing that's changed is who's interpreting that Constitution. But the same laws and everything else have not changed. So who's running our nation? Who's running? The left? The right? The right sure is not. LGBT, what are all those letters are? Are they running the nation? Kind of seems like it, doesn't it? I mean, they've stole our rainbow. They used the word pride. They must have never read the Bible. Well, you know they can't to live that lifestyle, but the Bible says what? Pride goeth before a fall. Now one day is not enough. Now they want what? A month. So now they got a month. Now they want a summer. And on it goes. Who's running our nation? Who's running our nation? What about the Supreme Court? Is that who's running our nation? It seems like that our Supreme Court now, it's not the Constitution, but we look to the Supreme Court for everything that we need. Once again, it's those who are interpreting. Some would say insurance companies are running our nation. Like I said, you try to go to the doctor, you try to do some things and get some tests run. Well, first thing we got to do is check with your insurance. Make sure they're going to pay for it. And you know, and if you can live till we can get your insurance to prove it, we'll try to find out what's wrong with you. What about lawyers? All these lawyers seem like everything's always in a lawsuit. Somebody's suing somebody. So who's really running our nation today? Listen to what he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 31. He says, "Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth." The Lord reigneth. You know, if anybody should be running our nation today, it should be God himself, right? He should be the one that's running our nation. It shouldn't be something that we look at the Constitution, but we ought to be looking to the Word of God, to the Word of God, and seeing exactly what is it that makes our nation great. It is that we knew God and God was in our nation and we sought out God. We had presence in the founding of our nation who were on their knees praying unto God and seeking God's guidance because they knew God reigned. Not a Republican, not a Democrat, not one social group here, not one other group there, and not the right or the left, but brothers and sisters, the right one, which was God. But see, when you don't know who your God is, if you don't know who God is, then you're sure not going to let him run the nation, right? If you're confused about who God is or which God is running, then you're surely not going to let him run it. But our nation was founded upon God leading our nation. It was a time in which we rejoiced because we knew that God reigned in our nation. But today, who's running our nation? Well, let's look at the third thing. The third thing that I said is what exalts a nation? What is it that sets our nation above all other nations? What is it that makes it a great nation? Now, as bad as our nation is, I'm here to tell you, I'm glad I live in the United States of America. I don't know of any other country I would want to go to right now. It might be one or two I'd have to look at pretty close. But brothers and sisters, we still live in the greatest nation. So what is it that sets our nation aside and apart and exalts it? Well, some would say it's because of our freedoms and liberties. You know, that everybody has the same freedoms and the same liberties. And that's the reason that our prosperity is so great, that everybody can get a fair shake. But can we? What about nowadays? I mean, it's a joke. Our judicial system is a joke. We see time and time again, we keep listening to the news, how there's two sets of laws. There's a law for the Bidens and there's a law for the rest of us. You know, there's a laws for rich people and laws for poor people. You know, it's according to who you are. Some would say laws for black and some for the white. I mean, we keep looking around at our nation and we wonder, what have we not got past all this yet? Well, what exalts our nation? What makes it great then, if it's not our freedom, not our prosperity? Some would say maybe our military might. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I'm scared to death. We really got into a major war right now about where our military is. We're at 25% less of new recruits than we've ever been before. We don't have enough people wanting to join our army because our army done got woke, folks. It got woke, now it's broke. You hear me? You get woke, you get broke. People don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to be made to use those things. So is it our laws? Is that what makes us great? We got all these great laws that we protect everybody's freedoms and everybody's liberties. Is that what makes us great? It's what's carrying us down to you, folks. That is not what exalts a nation. Prosperity, freedom, military strength, laws, maybe our industry. Where's our industry gone? It doesn't make us great. It seems like everything we got now is made overseas, made in another nation. Seems like their industry is great. We used to lead in the industry. Well, listen to what he says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. Excuse me. But sin is a reproach to any nation. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. When we started legalizing sin, we lost our our standard. We lost our prestige in the world. You hear me? When we started allowing sin to run rampant, and we started to, as a nation, to reward sin and to punish good, when we started calling evil good and good evil, then, brothers and sisters, then we lost our prestige on the world center. We lost our prestige. The world don't respect the United States of America anymore. All these poor people just trying to get here because they think somebody's going to give them a handout. Somebody's going to make them a citizen. Somebody's going to give them a free check. And it seems like we proved we will. Is that what exalts? He said, no, righteousness. But sin is a reproof. And brothers and sisters, sin is carrying us down the drain right now. We better find some righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2, he says there, open the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Did you hear that? Open the gate that a righteous nation, which does what? Keeps the truth. See, we're living in a nation that we don't want to know what the truth is. We're living in a time like Jeremiah where people want to hear a lie. They don't want to hear a truth. They don't want nobody to tell them the truth. If you really love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. If you really want to see our nation turn around, then it's got to get back to the truth. It's got to quit telling lies. It's got to quit stretching the truth. It's got to quit saying, well, this is true when it's really not. Oh, brothers and sisters, that doesn't exalt a nation, just telling people what they want to hear, making them feel good. What exalts a nation is telling them the truth in righteousness and in love. For it is through that righteousness that a nation will be exalted. And we are falling down. In Macomb, Mississippi, you know, when Channel 3 does a special report on the crime and the dangers of Macomb, Mississippi, where's our righteousness? Won't anybody want to move to Macomb? Anybody want to move to the United States of America if we keep going like we're going? When we look at our cities and what's happening. Well, let's look at number 4. We've asked the hard question, who is our nation's God? Who is running our nation? What will exalt our nation? Well, what can heal our nation then? What can heal it? Well, some people would tell you we need to throw more money at it. Give them some more money. That'll heal it. Give everybody a check. Well, is that going to heal it? What's going to happen when we have to pay back all this 30-something trillion dollars that we can't pay back? Well, some would say, well, we need better health care. Let's get some more Medicaid and more Medicare for everybody. Some would say we need more counselors. We need more psychiatrists. Matter of fact, we saw this just a year or so ago when what they say? We need to fire the police officers and send counselors out. Well, you want the streets full of dead counselors, that'd be the sure thing to do. Send them to Chicago. Let them talk to some of those gang members up there. You're going to have a bunch of dead psychiatrists laying on the street. What you going to do? I mean, have we lost all sense? Is that going to heal our nation? Give them some more pills. I mean, I heard in one nation, in one state in our nation, that legalizing marijuana, what they did was they said, if you're a drug dealer, then you come and we're going to let you legally distribute the drugs. Now, is that about the most stupid thing you ever heard? But this is what's going to heal our nation? More political work, more lower laws, more other things. Yeah, is that what it's going to do? Is that what we've got to do? What about more mutilated and mixed up children? I mean, let's just teach them a lie. Let's teach them something contrary to God and to His Word, and let's see how that works. So what's going to heal our nation? Brother and sister, the first thing that's going to heal our nation is for me and you as Christian people. As he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, he says we got to walk blameless and unspotted in this crooked and this perverse nation that we live in. We got to let our light shine in this darkness that we're in. The only way we're going to heal our nation is for Christian people to stand up against the darkness and against the sins of this nation and against the wrongs of this nation and be counted on the Lord's side and walk blameless. We got too many preachers, we got too many churches are blameful because they're preaching the lies and they're leading people astray. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You can't go past today without reading it. Can't look at any 4th of July. What did God say? If my people, which are called by my name, will do what? If they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. And what will I do? I will heal their land. Oh, brothers and sisters, what it's going to take for our land to be healed, then we got to put God back as the God of our nation. What's it going to take to heal our nation? Then we got to put God back on the throne. We got to make sure that he's running our nation. What it's going to take to heal our nation? Then we got to exalt up righteousness and truth, God's righteousness and truth. What's it going to take to heal our nation? We've got to humble ourselves before God. We've got to pray like we never prayed before. We've got to seek him, turn from our wicked ways. We've got to change. We've got to have revival. And then he'll hear, he'll forgive, and he'll heal. And those wonderful leaves of healing will heal our nation. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively today. Lord, we pray for our nation as we come upon another 4th of July. Lord, there's never was a time that we need to turn back to you than like now. Help us, Lord, to fall on our faces before you, to humble ourselves, pray and seek you, and most of all, turn from our wicked ways. Lord, heal our nation. Heal our nation by healing our people. Help us to turn to you today. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.